Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Catch Some Z's. I'm very excited about this episode because it is one of those instances where all of the pieces of the puzzle kind of just fell together when they were supposed to, and I'm really excited to just share. So I hope everyone's had a good 3 weeks since we've last spoke. And I'm filming right now from my bedroom again. Last time I used my new microphone that I had purchased over the summer to get myself together, but I don't actually have the proper setup together to get like the best out of that microphone. So I'm gonna revert back to just using my phone microphone in the meantime, because I think the sound is better that way and you hear me better. So that's just a quick disclaimer. Let's get into the episode. So the title of this episode is Factory Reset, because we are, again, focusing on the self this season. And a few weeks ago, my mom called me because she was having trouble with her Amazon Fire Stick. And I was on a 3-way call with her and a rep from Amazon. And we basically did a factory reset at like 9:45 p.m. on like a Tuesday. And my mom was stressing out because she's like not good with tech. And I was in the middle of, you know, doing my hair or something, and we kind of avoid those things, or at least I avoid doing factory resets on my devices, just because it's like I don't feel like going through and downloading all of my apps again, signing in and all that stuff. And I knew that my mom was not going to be in the mood to do that either, but we did it because we had to. Her device wasn't working anymore, and as I was scripting this episode, I was reminded of that. And it also came to me because this past weekend, I got my home in order again, as was the title of the last episode. And my bedroom now is the cleanest it's been since all of the pieces have kind of come together. This last week was rough in like a real subtle way, but it was one of those weeks where, you know, I did laundry on Tuesday, but I let it sit on my bed until Friday. I didn't put it away until Friday and Saturday. And basically the act of cleaning was more than just cleaning my area, but it was also helping me clear my mind. And to me, it felt like I had conducted my own factory reset in life. And that is what inspired the title of today's episode. So that is the title. And I'm going to start us off with a quote that I came across a few months ago. Not even a quote, more so it was a Tumblr post, but it made me laugh. But now I'm looking at it with a fresh pair of eyes right now. So it reads as, "Might just mess around and reclaim my human worth as intrinsic instead of defined by my productivity." And when I first read it, I was looking at it from the lens of us living in a society that values productivity over humanity in more cases than not. And again, Tumblr, now that I'm back on it, it's funny how I'm finding inspiration in different ways. But when I was sitting down to script this episode, there was a post that broke down the characters from Avatar The Last Airbender, which you all should have already watched if you haven't already, into their Enneagram types, which is a personality test of sorts. And so I'd never heard of it. And I was like, well, what the heck? Like, what am I? And so I went online, took the test. There's 9 types that you can fall under, and I fall under type 3. Long story short, type 3s tie a lot of their self-worth to their productivity as it relates to their own measures of success. So reading that, plus the quote that I just read to you all, now that quote means a little bit more to me than it did a few weeks ago. So in a very strange and specific way, it very much captures the essence of today's episode. And the essence is prioritizing and defining your own self-worth. So I'm going to tell you all a story from, I guess, a few years ago, or a lot of years ago, right after this quick break. So one of the beautiful things about doing this podcast is that in order for me to actually produce content for you, also for me, I have to, do a lot of reflection and think about things that have happened or how I'm responding to certain things. And this particular story I remembered randomly over the summer. I had kind of forgotten about it, but at the time, it put a lot of things in perspective for me, or rather me thinking about it now put things in perspective for me. And so if you don't mind coming along for the ride a little bit, please join me as I tell you about sixth grade, which was the year that my mother and I lived in Florida after we were evicted from my childhood home. So in addition to the stress of my new environment and the current circumstances that had led me there, I was also convinced at the time in sixth grade at my new school that some of my teachers were racists and or they wanted to see me fail, one or the other. So when I got there, I had been placed into the equivalent of honors courses. And up until that point in my career, I had always been a straight A student, like on my report cards. And I never got less than a B on, like, you know, regular assignments. That all changed when I moved to Florida. So I had the science teacher, her name was Miss M. I'm not gonna do her full name, but Miss M, and she was the redheaded personification of that meme of Daenerys Targaryen. You know, the one where she's like squinting. And Miss M had assigned a project on cell structures. So from what I can remember from it, it required a visual component on a poster board, as well as an essay, like 2 to 3 pages or so with information. So since we were fresh from an eviction, you can imagine that funds were tight at home and we didn't have much, including internet at home or a computer to use internet on. So after we secured the poster board, my mom and I had to schedule a day and a time to take me to the local library so I could work on my project. However, due to mom's work schedule at the time and our limited network of, you know, support, we ended up having to wait until the day before the project was due so that we could go to the library and so she could leave work early and just get it all done. The library closed at 9 p.m. and we got there a little bit after 5, but I was confident that between some of the work that had already done and that 4-hour period, I could wrap up the research and essay portion and save the visuals for when I got home. And I was right. I sat down at the computer and got to work. My 11-year-old brain was the most focused it had been, and we were getting all the neat information about cells, and I was making notes about how to incorporate it all into the presentation. I was making it happen. And my ever-patient mother was encouraging in the background as time passed, and she was thwarting the librarian's weird energy so I could focus, because the vibes were definitely off in that space. Anyway, a little after 8 p.m., I began to wrap up the project. And it was one of those rare moments where I wasn't racing against the clock. Like, for once, I was actually ahead of schedule. In the midst of my self-satisfaction, I forgot that Florida is the southeastern headquarters for the U.S. Division of Hell. But I was reminded of that during the few seconds that it took me to move my mouse to hit file and then print. Because in those few seconds, the computer screen went blank, turned off, and then turned back on. I sat at the desk, dumbfounded. My heart was in my lap. My mom, seeing what had happened, ran to the librarian to ask if there was something that could be done, because at this point, everything that I had worked on for the last 3 or so hours was gone. And as my mom asked the librarian what could be done, the librarian points to one of the laminated signs near the computers that, you know, reminds people to save their work frequently, which this time around I had neglected to do. When the computer rebooted, all of my work was gone. I wanted to cry. I needed to cry. But above all, I had to finish my assignment. So now, with a little less than 30 minutes before the library closed, I typed as much as my 11-year-old fingers could type, and I tried to remember as much as my defeated mind could remember. And what was originally a few pages worth of content turned into about half a page by 8:53 p.m. when it was time to pack it up and head home. So I went home incredibly frustrated, but I was determined to at least get like a C minus on the project. But as someone who prioritizes quality, it was hard convincing myself that this project was even worth turning in. And the next day at school, I spent much of the day avoiding questions about how my project turned out, and I kept my poster board closed as I looked at the detail and effort that my classmates put into their projects. So when it was time for science class, of course, Miss M took a special interest in asking how my project turned out specifically. And since I made an effort to turn it in as low-key as possible, and as I was explaining the events of the previous night, for some reason she felt compelled to open my project and look at it from an angle that allowed the rest of the class to see it too. So naturally I was mortified, but I still tried to see if there was something I could do, maybe submit it the next day in like full completion for partial credit, maybe even an extension if she was feeling particularly generous. And with the phoniest of smiles and her worst portrayal of sympathy, she reminded me of the deadline and encouraged me not to wait until the last minute in the future. So here I am stuck because I'm like not wanting to be the kid that's like, but it wasn't my fault. But like it genuinely wasn't my fault. Anyway, the turnaround time for getting our grades back was very quick. And when I got my grade back, I received my very first 55, aka an F. So I didn't actually cry in the class, but I'm sure I looked pitiful with tears welling up behind my glasses and, you know, defeat taking over my body. I'm one of those people who has to control their facial expressions because if I don't, you know, it's very obvious what I'm feeling, and I don't think at that point I cared. So there I was stressed, and it wasn't a big surprise when report cards came out a few weeks later. And there were not one, but two B's on my report card from science and math class. This time around, though, I didn't hold back and I cried the entire bus ride home. So that's the story of how I got my first F and the circumstances that led to it. F is for Florida. But anyway, this is important, though, because For as long as I've been around, I'm usually a subject of adoration for the authority figures in my life, in any given space, right? And teachers were never an exception. Not to toot my own horn, but toot toot. And when I entered the workforce, this remained the same for my supervisors. And so that deal's always been pretty sweet because I never had to do anything except be myself. In order to get, you know, either recognition or, you know, high praise, whatever. So before anyone even had to tell me like, oh, be yourself, be authentic, blah, 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 I had already identified it as the winning formula for me. Of course, the problem with this is that whenever this formula failed, as it often did while I was in Florida, I rationalized it as an issue with me and who I am as a person. I made it personal when it wasn't. So the Enneagram test, the Enneagram test says that type threes, which I told you that's what I scored before, type threes at their worst or in response to certain stimuli can feel that, quote, they are nobody and have no value, unquote. So if you take this and add it to the general chaos that comes with puberty and then include the emotional turmoil tied to the eviction and those associated changes, you can imagine the hit that my self-esteem and my self-worth took. And as you know, I've spent the last few years actively undoing that work. So when it came back, once I started work again after being furloughed, it took me a little while to kind of point it out or even identify it as being that. So like, as if it wasn't enough to have an increased workload in the middle of a pandemic, the changing work culture overall left me in a familiar environment, but with unfamiliar and unpleasant energy. And it was another example of like my formula of me just doing me and being who I am, my formula hadn't changed, but suddenly the result and the outcomes did. But that, again, that's as a result of, you know, a shift in culture and a change in environment and personalities and those types of things. So because I'm blessed with an incredible support system of family and friends, I've had more than a few come to Jesus moments, if you will, when I realized that the problem wasn't internal. It wasn't with me, just the same way it wasn't with me back in sixth grade when Miss M gave me an F on my science project. The problem is happening around me. The only difference now is this time I have to make sure that I don't lose myself in the chaos. And I guess that is kind of the challenge that I'm facing now. Because it's certainly still happening. So I have to keep up, you know, the work, and I have to keep myself focused. But all in all, my worth is what it is because I am who I am. And, you know, there is no there's no amount of external stimuli anymore that can really change that. Also, I have to point out, in an act of divine comedy, as I was scripting this specific part, my web browser closed out. Literally writing about the time that a computer shut down and it cost me a grade. Same thing happened here, but the difference is this time I'm using Google Docs, so my work was saved automatically. And if that's not a sign of growth, then I don't know what is. So thank you for listening to that story, and we're going to break it down a little bit further in a few short moments. So I'm going to, I guess, share with you all the Enneagram breakdown for type threes, just because, again, this is a self-centered season. And again, I'm a sucker, okay, a sucker for a personality quiz. I'm pretty sure I shared with you episodes and episodes ago how when I was looking for jobs, once I started my grad program, everyone was always asking me, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And I just did not have a clear answer. And that's because there isn't a clear answer still, but I'm like, I can stand in that now. Anyway, it was always fun taking quizzes, you know, what career path should you choose, or what type of person are you? What type of leader are you? So finding this quiz, literally, I was scrolling on Tumblr and someone made a text post and it had Aang, Katara, Sokka, Zuko, Suki, Toph, and Azula. And it had, you know, just the different, that was the perfectionist, the achiever, the whatever the rest of them are called. And I was like, well, what the hell is this? And they were like, oh, you know, they're Enneagram types. And I was like, well, sign me up. And so I took the quiz. And like I said, if you're on the Instagram, I posted a quick little graphic kind of about it. It's actually more complex than it gives off, but whatever. Maybe I'll take the time to like really dive into it, but the surface level information, I scored, like I said, a 98% in type three. And again, like I found it maybe an hour before I sat down to script the episode. So it really, everything tied together so seamlessly. So just a little bit about type threes. I'm going to read, the brief section. So don't use this stuff against me, okay? So in brief, type threes are self-assured, attractive, and charming, ambitious, competent, and energetic. They can also be status conscious and highly driven for advancement. They are diplomatic and poised, but can also be overly concerned with their image and what others think of them. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness. At their best, they're self-accepting, authentic, everything they seem to be, role models who inspire others. And all of the types have levels to it. So this one said at their best. There's level, there we go. There's healthy levels are levels 1, 2, and 3. Average levels are levels 4, 5, and 6. And then unhealthy levels are 7, 8, or 9. And so I'd like to think that I'm somewhere in the cusp between average and healthy. But again, I don't know everything. I just learned about this stuff. But that's a big fat read on my life because You know, like I told you, before, my winning formula through getting through life just happened to be me being my authentic self. But I didn't ever separate, you know, me, I guess, kind of quote unquote performing for the public with who I am as a person. And so when I always joke and say things to my friends, I'm like, oh, like, what are your reviews over like something I did that's not review worthy? But it kind of lends itself to the whole aspect of me, you know, performing. So when a performance goes wrong, quote unquote, you know, I take it personally because I've tied it so much to who I am as a person. I haven't separated the two. Like, I didn't grow up separating the two. And so whenever I have challenges that are tied to my performance, I typically internalize it as, you know, an attack on my personal character. And so I'm certainly working on not interpreting it that way, because it's not helpful. It's not healthy, certainly. So I just, again, like, I found this to be crazy accurate. Some of the examples that they have from pop culture and history that are type threes that are impressive to me. Augustus Caesar, Muhammad Ali, Andy Warhol, Truman Capote, Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra, Michael Jordan, Whitney Houston, Lady Gaga, Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx, Will Smith, Demi Moore, Reese Witherspoon, Anne Hathaway. I love Anne Hathaway. Oh, she's so good. And Mad Men's Don Draper. And also Glee's Rachel Berry. So I don't really want to associate myself too much with Rachel Berry, but I'll definitely associate myself with Don Draper because you all know, I'm pretty sure I told you I was watching Mad Men this summer. I love Don, and it's crazy because I saw a lot of myself in him too, but not in this way. But anyway, that's not the point. So, like I said, I think it was just really interesting, the timing of it all, me finding this quiz, me learning about it. I mean, I still have the tabs open. It's been a few days now because I'm still kind of trying to like dive into the website. There's a lot of information here. But I definitely encourage you to check it out. The Enneagram Institute, I'll put the information on the graphic in my Instagram post. So you can definitely check it out and see where you fall, see where you land. And, you know, obviously, like, I don't define my life based off of what I get on a personality test. Like, that's not that's not it at all. But there are, you know, people do research and work to come to these conclusions, and I definitely think that it's helpful. Kind of just seeing how you and others operate, you know, again, in response to different stimuli. So as I'm moving forward in life, and with new challenges, as I move forward with new challenges, it's certainly helpful to kind of get this perspective on things and take note of it and apply it where it's needed and keep things moving. So that's where I'm at, y'all. I am a type three for the Enneagram test. I am an ENFJ on Myers-Briggs. So that's what they call that, the protagonist. So that's where I fall on that spectrum. If you have any other really neat personality tests that I can take for the free, let me know. Shoot me a DM or something. And also let me know what you get. Again, like I said, if you take this, let me know where you fall. And, you know, don't just take it just to take it, but also take it and consider how it affects you, how accurate it might be, and what you can do to improve, because we're all about self-improvement here. Alrighty. When I come back, I'm going to share another fun quote that I've shared before, and we're going to wrap up the show. So the overall purpose of me sharing that story with you earlier, and the overall purpose of me sharing my type from the Enneagram test, is that, again, all of this is supposed to culminate with the prioritization of us, like, as individuals in a world that is constantly attacking us in one way or another. We need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves. It means that you have to live your life, especially life in a pandemic, in a way that makes you not just satisfied, but actually happy. You have to prioritize yourself in a way that you may not be used to. And at this point, it's not enough anymore to merely just think it or say it. You really have to dedicate every day and every action to making sure that you're actually doing well, okay? We're past the point of just coasting. We're past the point of just getting by. Because in the end of the day, that's settling. And that's not what we need right now. You know, I think it takes radical change a lot of times to get out of current systems. And if you and myself, like I'm including myself in this as well, if we're not used to prioritizing ourselves, if we're not used to taking care of ourselves, we may think that we can just, you know, continue to coast. And that's not it. You know, the challenges that we're facing now on a daily basis, in addition to things that you may have already been going through, right? But these new challenges and these new things require a lot more attention on yourself. Like, you have to, there's a lot of more focus that you have to put inward. And it's, I don't think it's meant to be easy. And I think that you're going to find it challenging to even, you know, find time to do it or find productive ways to do so. But I just really encourage you all to put it at the top of your list, because you have to take the initiative and follow through. And it actually reminded me of another quote, again, that I shared with you before, but I'm going to read it to you. Oh, and there's a motorcycle going by. there's another quote that I'm going to read to you, and I want you, as I read it, to internalize it from the perspective of, like, of self-care, as opposed to, or in addition to, rather. It talks about success and, like, doing the work for yourself, and it, you know, it's about success, yes, but also make it about self-care. So it reads, no one cares for your success as much as their own, so you have to care. You have to force yourself to get up early. You have to force yourself to turn your phone off and revise or study. You have to force yourself to work out. You have to care for the whole world, because no one else cares until they start seeing results. And they won't ever see your results if you don't care enough first. It's your life. They're your goals, your dreams. It will be your work first and foremost. So please don't misinterpret that line about taking care of the world as your sole responsibility like I used to do. but the message here is that if there is something that you care about, you have to actively care about it. It's not enough to just think about it. It's not enough to just, you know, say you'll get to it later. It's not. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes in certain situations, I'll default to the masses for things that require someone to stand up. When what I mean is, you know, I'll think to myself, oh, someone will get it. You know how sometimes you may be like in an office or something and the phone rings, and if it's going to like the general line as opposed to someone's direct line, no one necessarily answers it until like the third or fourth ring, or until someone says, hey, can someone get that? That's what I mean. So, you know, don't take the world's responsibilities on as your own, but if there's something that you care about, if there's something that you want to see done, you have to care about it first, simply because it's something that you care about. I sound redundant, but like that's the truth. So tying it back to prioritizing yourself, you know, no one is going to come to your home and take care of you, right? No one is going to come and get you out of bed when you don't want to get up. No one is going to do your laundry. I mean, unless you got it like that, in which case, go off. But otherwise, no one is going to do your dishes. No one's going to pick out your clothes. No one's going to go to work for you. No one's going to follow your dreams for you. No one's going to make your dreams come true. You have to do that. You are responsible for those things. And this is also not me attacking you if you're not doing anything, right? But I want to encourage you to prioritize those things that are important to you, because if you're in the U.S. right now, it doesn't seem like our government is prioritizing the people to any capacity. If you come from a challenging home environment or a work environment, you know, the powers that be in those spaces don't really seem to care about your success the way that you would like them to. So in that case, if no one else is going to do it, you at the very least should be able to count on yourself too. So that's what I want to encourage all of us to do. That's what I'm working on day in and day out. I was hoping that by the time this episode came out, I would have, you know, a straight up answer for you and examples and a how-to. I simply don't, because I'm still actively going through it. I am still working on prioritizing myself in healthy ways that are productive to the kind of person that I want to be. And I don't have answers yet. You are getting this information and these stories and all these things in real time. You know, I'm not speaking too much to past experiences. I'm speaking right now to things that are actively going on. So I'm, again, here to encourage you. And I'm just trying to keep it real. So do what you need to do for yourself, especially on those days where it feels like everything is working against you. That may be true, but what's also true is that you don't have to work against yourself. You can work for yourself. And that's it. That's all I have for you. So thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me share my story with you. I hope that you were able to get something out of it. Again, take the quiz, see what type you are, and take care of yourself, man. That's all I have. Check us out on Instagram at Catch Some Z's, CATCHZZZS _. CatchSomeZ's.com. You know, that's just where we be at. And again, take care of yourself first and foremost. Prioritize yourself. Make sure you are good, because no one else is going to do it like you. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you next time.